Street at Today SOR.
A big traffic plan will be launched early next month to prevent Brexit-related congestion at Dublin Port spilling out into the city, the port tunnel and the motorway network. The plan, called Operation Purge, will be designed to ensure that the tunnel remains open and that key thoroughfares around it, including the M1 and the M50, do not become congested. For more on how it might work, I'll speak in a few minutes to Eamon O'Reilly, Chief Executive of the Dublin Port Company. But first, I'm joined by Simon Carswell, the Irish Times Public Affairs Editor. Simon, post-Brexit related traffic congestion around Dublin Port, just how bad could it get?
Well, it could be very bad, given the amount of traffic that comes into Dublin Port. You're looking at close to 3,000 heavy goods vehicles, trucks, lorries, vans come through Dublin Port on average a day. And the difficulty that the port has is that the traffic peaks at particular points in the day. So every 6 hours, there's two ferries come in from Holyhead. So there's four waves in a day of ferries. And there can be up to about 7 lane kilometres of trucks coming in at those times. And if there are delays because of these new border checks that will be required on goods coming in from the UK post-Brexit, then that could lead to congestion. And the fear is that if that congestion clogs up the port, that the traffic can back up out Dublin Port Tunnel and up to the M1 and the M50. So this plan, Operation Purge, is in place. The purpose of it is to prevent the port tunnel getting backed up and traffic stopping in it. And there's very strict rules that you're not allowed to have standing traffic in a tunnel. So what that means is that the traffic needs to keep moving. Lorries will be sent down through the port and out the other northbound, out again up to the M1 and the M50.
Just a massive big loop, and told to go where or where to park?
Well, this is the unknown part of the plan. This is yet to be decided. They had looked before, government had looked at the possibility of taking some of the long-term car parking at Dublin Airport and parking some of the trucks there. But it looks like the trucks now will be directed to go out and to go to where they normally rest. Like, so you're looking at service stations along the M1 and further out. So to where trucks will currently park and wait to go into the port, that's where they will be directed to now.
And what kind of capacity would be in those locations for them, Simon?
Well, I mean, there's existing capacity as it is now. You will see if you drive up the M1, you will see trucks parked up at various service stations along that route, along various Apple Green plazas. You'd see them, and they're parked there awaiting. They would drive then on into the port ahead of ferries going out within the hour. So they would basically go back to those places. It's not clear yet where they would be backed up. If there is a quite a lot of stacking required for the lorries, and we're talking significant amounts of trucks, so that's part of the plan that's still to be devised.
Yeah, stay with us, Simon. Eamon O'Reilly, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Sean.
You, as I say, Chief Executive of the Dublin Port Company. We've been hearing about trial runs at the Port of Dover to deal with possible congestion that will arise after the 31st of October. Have you had any similar trial runs in Dublin?
The short answer, Sean, is no, we haven't. But as we get closer to Brexit, we need to look at contingency plans if the worst case scenario happens. And it doesn't matter what the reason for it is. If the port congests, we must be able to say what we as Dublin Port Company are going to do. The big commitment we're going to be making, and we'll be publicising details at the start of October, is that we will not allow congestion of the port to block the Dublin Port Tunnel or the M50 or the M1. We had some instances in recent weeks where that indeed did happen. What's actually happened over recent months is we have lost 10 hectares of our lands within Dublin Port. We have a total of 260. We have lost those, if you like, to the State Border Inspection Services. So we've had to make lands and facility and infrastructure available for the checks that are going to be necessary. And that has removed the small bit of buffer capacity we had within the port. So I wouldn't be too dramatic to say we're on a knife edge. But if we're at a position where there is significant congestion, and it actually doesn't matter whether it's down to a Brexit-related issue or indeed bad weather or any factor, we need to have a mitigation in place that we can ensure that the problems within Dublin Port do not become the problems of the city.
You talk about the loss of that 10 hectares, that's about 20 acres or so, give or take. What's that land going to be used for?
Well, it's land on which there's going to be locations where, for example, Department of Agriculture, Food and Marine will carry out inspection checks and identification checks on trucks coming off ferries which are carrying foodstuffs, which are now subject to controls, or will be subject to controls, which they haven't been in the past. Elsewhere, there's significant lands that are being made available which have warehouses on them, which have been adapted to provide locations where trailers can be opened and the goods inside inspected. So all of the border controls required because of Britain leaving the single European market, those inspections have to take place close to where the goods come off ships. Close to where the goods come off ships is that 10 hectares within Dublin Port.
And they will be presumably occupied by trucks that previously would have just driven straight out of the port.
Correct. So this morning, two great big ferries with a total of about 8 kilometres of vehicles on them would have arrived into Dublin Port at about 5:30. The great majority of the cargo trucks on those ships would have driven straight out of the terminal and straight into the Dublin Port Tunnel to deliver goods all around Dublin and the greater Dublin area.
And instead of which they will be detained, or at least some of them, or a lot of them will be detained for these inspections. But the idea that you're giving this guarantee, you won't allow congestion at the port to block either the tunnel or the M50. So what are the drivers to do?
If we have congestion, and we know this because of what happened in recent weeks, hauliers coming to the port, TII will shut the Dublin Port Tunnel, number one, the southbound bore, and the trucks then have to go elsewhere. What we need to do is to make sure we don't get to a situation where TII have to shut the southbound bore. So the concept of this is desperately simple. Dublin Port is like a jam jar. Once it's full, you cannot put any more into it. So instead of shutting the tunnel, whatever comes through the tunnel, we U-turn it within the port and put it back out the northbound bore of the port tunnel. In other words, keep the tunnel operating even if the port is congested for a period.
Now, Simon Coates, you were saying in today's Irish Times, the big conundrum in all of this is that we are dealing with unbelievable levels of uncertainty. People are allowing themselves to fall into a trap where they're trying to answer questions they cannot answer. Now, what are those questions?
Well, I think that the sort of obvious question is, let's take the challenge that state services have, Revenue, Department of Agriculture, Food and Marine, and Department of Health. They're having to deploy very significant resources, which are planned, and I know they're going to be in place. They're going to have to deal with loads coming off ships. The biggest uncertainty is whether those loads have all of the necessary paperwork done. Is the information within the system to allow the resources the state puts in into the infrastructure that we as a port have provided, is the information there to allow that to work smoothly? That is the biggest uncertainty that exists.
Yes, but when you say, you know, they're answering questions they cannot answer, that's, could I put that another way? You haven't a clue what's going to happen.
Well, do you have a clue? Does anybody have a clue?
Well, it's not my job to run Dublin Port.
What I'm referring to is the level of Brexit preparedness.
I haven't heard
anybody say that every importer is ready, that every haulier is ready.
Well, one way to find out, perhaps, or to get an idea, would be to do these dry runs like they're having in Dover. But you don't have any plans for those, do you?
No, the dry runs that were done in Dover, I think that was running trucks out to Manston Airport. I think they were largely and probably rightly ridiculed after the event. What we need to be able to do as Dublin Port, we've got emergency response plans in many aspects of our business. If the port congests, we similarly need a response plan in place. We need to explain to people what that plan is so that if we have to implement it, they know what's going to happen and what's happening. Rather than a lot of hauliers and other people on the roads being congested, not knowing what's happening, and with no adequate response to free that congestion. Our objective is to make sure we do not put congestion into the tunnel and onto the road.
One of our listeners, Colm, has summed up this as saying, it sounds like a Dublin Port's plan to deal with the tailbacks is just to turn trucks away at the gate and tell them to go find somewhere else to park. That's hardly a plan.
It's a response to an emergency situation. If the port congests, it cannot be decongested quickly.
Yeah, but what
you don't want to do is to keep adding to the problem.
Yeah,
what you want
to
do is to confine the problem so you can deal with it. And then
but where do the trucks go? Because, I mean, like, you've lost the 20 hectares, but I doubt if there's 20 hectares to spare or even there in those Apple Green and other stations, the motorway stops.
Where the trucks go, if you think about where the trucks have come from, the trucks have locations that they can go to. Where they came from, they can go to motorway stops. There will be other areas where hauliers are well used and well known.
But if they're clogged up, what happens then?
What happens then is, if they clog up, and I don't see any, I think there's, if you look at the capacity that we have in Dublin Port for dealing with tailbacks and congestion, it is a tiny fraction of the capacity that exists outside of the port. We can't solve that greater problem from within the resources that we have.
Fraction of the capacity that exists outside the port, but where outside the port does that capacity exist?
There is capacity, obviously, some capacity in those motorway network stops. There is capacity where the trucks have come from. There are haulier yards. None of this is satisfactory from the point of view of giving you a definitive answer. But there is capacity out there. We have to focus on the 260 hectares that we have here in Dublin Port. If that becomes congested, we can't simply sit and say, well, it's not our problem. And our response to that has to be, we limit the problem to within Dublin Port.
Yeah, you were saying at the outset, Eamon, that those two big ferries, they disgorge something like 8 kilometres in length of traffic. I mean, how many kilometres of traffic or tailback can your 260 hectares, how much of that, how many kilometres can it absorb?
You can probably get about, that's off the top of my head, Sean, there's probably about 3 kilometres of internal roads within the port, okay?
Yeah.
If those congest, you can probably queue within the port about 250 trucks.
I see.
Now, if there's 250 trucks already within the port and it's congested, you can't get any more in, your jam pot is full, and trucks keep coming and coming and coming, that's the problem that we're trying to address.
So, well, that suggests that you need a hectare per truck if you've got 260 hectares.
No. A lot of that land is the land of container terms, of oil tank farms. We've got roads and we've got yards. The 260 hectares includes the yards that are already occupied with oil tanks, container terms, etc., etc.
Yeah, a lot of reaction from our listeners to this. Surely Apple Green won't let its service stations get jammed up so Dublin Port can kick the can. French Customs did a dry run too. Why are we not preparing? Just clarify that one, Eamon O'Reilly, finally. Do you have a plan to do dry runs?
We will do whatever we need to do as we implement Operation Purge. We will absolutely test that and trial that.
How?
For us to do, well, we need to identify all of the steps, deploy the people and make sure they do the right thing that needs to be done. For us to do a live run of this involves us congesting the tunnel and the motorway network, which we won't do. What we'll be ready to do is to address that eventuality should it arise in real term in the future.
Okay, we'll leave it there for now. My thanks to you both, Eamon O'Reilly, Director General, Chief Executive, I should say, of Dublin Port, and Simon Carswell, Public Affairs Editor of the Irish Times.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.